Today you experience the Cleverleys. If you've not had the opportunity yet, you're going to hear them in song and also in a discussion with Digger Cleverly, who I take to be the head of the Cleverleys. In the second hour, we're going to discuss Digger and the new album Blue on Mountain Home Records. The best way to describe the Cleverleys, if you've not yet experienced it, one of the best bluegrass bands you're ever going to hear. Throw in a little bit of Monty Python and Homer and Jethro, and there you've got the Cleverleys. They do covers of traditional bluegrass songs also, as good as anyone can possibly do them, just to let you know how good they are. But they do have that little bit of a twist as they go through the rest of the album. So the new album, Blue, on Mountain Home, contains what I think is the best cover of Wait a Minute I've ever heard. Digger Cleverly, everything you ever wanted to know about the Cleverleys and more. I'm really, really happy to welcome the Unreal Bluegrass, the one, the only, Digger Cleverly from the Cleverleys.
I appreciate that. We're excited to be a part of the show today.
The occasion, Digger, is this brand new album, Blue, which I think is about, as we're speaking, is about ready to officially drop.
Yes, it actually dropped Friday.
That's what I thought. And it's on Mountain Home?
It's on Mountain Home Music. That's correct.
All right. We'll get all that out of the way. We'll come back, circle around to that later in the interview. But when I've known of the Cleverleys, Diggers, and you don't know me, but I've known of the band, and I've seen you in festivals, and I've heard your music before. And this new album, Blue, was a great opportunity to get inside, even though I may not want to go there really, to get inside of the Cleverleys. Because I love this music that you guys are so good at what you're doing. The band is, the musicianship, I'll just tell listeners now, if they're not familiar, they'll be a little more familiar with the Cleverleys when we're done, but I look at the Cleverleys as, for musicianship and skill and what you're putting out, Homer and Jethro to me were the epitome of great musicians who did things that at least would make you smile a little bit, except when they didn't want to. I look at the Cleverleys as Homer and Jethro, a little bit of Monty Python, a little bit of Pinkerton Bowden, some names that come to my mind, but what you're doing is just phenomenal. I don't laugh at them all, but I smile at all of them.
Well, that's a fantastic characterization of it, and also a compliment. Homer and Jethro, huge fans of them. Not only could they make you smile, but they could bear down.
Oh my!
They could play.
You know this, Digger, from being a musician, that if you talk to musicians in and around Nashville, Homer and Jethro are regarded as two of the better players ever in their time period. And I mean, still to this day, you talk to Sam Bush, and he worshipped at the feet of Jethro Burns on mandolin. And if you ever heard the stuff that he did, just kind of fooling around. And so the point of it is this. The Cleverleys are a great bluegrass band. You have great players. I always, whenever I see a band, Digger, and they start to do, wait a minute, I always think, don't do it. Don't do it. But on Blue, because it's so hard to do it, but on Blue, there's a killer version of Wait a Minute, which I would say, okay, yeah, the Cleverleys have a pass to do that song, which might be one of the most revered Duffy vocals and all that, but you guys do it right in the midst of everything else that you're doing. So you have the chops to do all this stuff, and you do it all so well. And it's just, to me, it's like, yeah, when the very first song, Baby. By the way, I'm not calling you Baby, by the way, but Baby is the first song. It's a Justin. Is it Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber's song,
yeah.
That's right.
See, now, did you pick up on this coincidence, Digger, and I need you to think about this for a minute, because it may not have hit you yet. He just retired from music. He just got out of music, could deal with some issues. I would not rule out the possibility that the Cleverleys covered Baby.
I hope that we didn't force him out of business.
I wouldn't think you forced him out.
It
made him reflect.
I really hope that we didn't force poor Bieber out of business. The whole point of doing that song was we wanted to do a song that was American as the artist that did it. And that's why we covered that song. Bieber, good old all-American boy from Canada, really Really, honestly, I think he's a very talented man, a young man.
I agree with him.
Absolutely, he's an incredible artist. And you know, most of the songs that we pick out, we really truly do like the artists that we cover, and we've got to like the song. Now, there's some of them that we do. Like Milkshake is for kind of the irony of the whole thing. But,
well,
we really want to do the song justice. Now, Baby is one of those songs that even if you had heard the original, if you didn't know, you really most likely wouldn't pick up that.
Right.
It's that Justin Bieber song, Baby.
Right.
We really wanted to do that song, but we also wanted to do something really bluegrass, and it is very
It translates very well. You're right, and I think had someone not, if you don't think about it, you're right. It's absolutely right. It's a great song in and of itself, and you guys picked up on that. You mentioned Milkshake. By the way, there is a video. I think it's done in the studio. And I encourage people who listen to this program, go back and see what was put on a video as this is done. But there's also a video of Milkshake, the original version of it. And it's a whole different concept than what you guys are doing, although the words are the same.
That's another one of those that
you just wanted another good American. You just wanted another good American song.
It's our patriotic duty. But it's one of those songs that it gets a laugh immediately. And that's kind of what we were looking for in that song. You know, some of our songs, you know, there's this kind of a strategy behind the way we put a show together. And if you see enough of them and pay attention to what we're doing in the comedy that goes around each one, you know, that's kind of the thread that sews the show together. There's kind of a strategy behind it, and that's one of those songs that we just wanted to be able to kick it off without introducing it. And enough people know that song because it's of the absurdity of the whole thing. That as soon as we kick that song off, the crowd knows what it is, and they're immediately sucked into it. Even though we're doing this
straight
traditional country,
right, that's right,
kind of feel to it. That's one of those songs we tried to pay tribute to our country roots.
Yeah.
But and then some of the songs we cover, we don't want to lose the integrity of the song at all. Like Party Rock Anthem, it's very much like the original.
It is, although you introduced it, and I think it's your voice. Let's wad up and scrub it off, boys. I don't think that's the original. I think I know that.
Well, that's the way we group every day before the show. Let's wad up and scrub it off.
Okay.
That's kind of a running thing with us, because our daddy used to say that. You know, when we'd all pick, we'd have pickings out at on Cleverly Mountain.
Yeah.
During the alpaca harvest.
Yeah.
And family would come in from all over the Ozarks and Peru to help us shear the alpacas.
Well, it's a mountain activity.
Exactly. And then after we'd get done with the day's work, and we'd all get cleaned up and eat us a bite, and my dad said, after he set his fork down, he'd say, let's wad up and scrub it off.
Well, that makes sense now.
And we'd all get in a big, big old circle, and we'd pick and sing till daylight.
Okay. Well, see, now it makes sense to me. But you're right. Other than that, it's dead on the lyrics. There might be some little accents and some extra trilled R's through some of these things, but basically, it's dead on the original, which, by the way, I had to go back and check who did it. LMFAO.
I'm not sure what that stands
for. I don't either. I thought it was spelled wrong, but I'm just going to leave it there. I'm just going to leave it there. but I tell you the one digger that I, as it's getting warmer where I am, and probably not too far from where you are, getting warmer, I might have my windows down in my car, and I catch myself singing the Cleverly's version of Blue. And sooner or later, there's going to be somebody next to me that might want to pause and give me a funny look.
You know, I have a 3-year-old.
No.
But she's about to turn 4.
No, I don't.
Daughter.
No, I do not.
And when we would get the rough mixes in, but sit in the stand in the kitchen and listen to the rough mixes. That song she wanted to hear a million times. It took over Barney. Like, Barney's gone, Cleverly's Blue is in, and that's what she wants to hear all the time. She's obsessed with the whole album now.
Well, I guess so.
But that song is the one that she basically picked it out for the title track, because that's the one that she just loved that song. As soon as it came on, she started. Now she knows every word of it. It's kind of funny to hear a 3-year-old say those lyrics that don't really make any sense. Now listen up. Here's a story about a little guy who lives in a blue world. She just says it. What, like she's running around the house.
And it's not an easy song to sing.
No. No, but she loved that song. And that one come from my nephew who plays the banjo, Dale Vernon Dale, who we call DVD. That was his idea to do that song. And I'm glad that he brought that one to the table, because it really is a big hit, I think, with the live crowd.
It is, and it's, of course, the title track from the album. The album has 12 cuts, only 11 songs, though.
Yes. And there's some candid moments in the studio. We like to do impersonations, and turns out we're pretty good at them.
You're killing some of these.
And accents.
You got them.
Pretty amazing at the accent.
You got those nailed. And I can't even tell it's the Cleverly's doing, you know, an Australia or an Irish or whatever. I can't even tell. It's like,
is that what we were doing?
I don't know. I don't know what you were doing, but I can't tell it's the Cleverly's doing it. Because you totally get lost in the role. I could tell that it was your voices, but I couldn't tell really what you were trying to say. And what
you
accent.
Had mentioned earlier, I don't know if it was before we started the interview or during the interview, you had mentioned something about Monty Python.
Yeah.
The Cleverly's was spawned out of the love for Monty Python, Chris Guest movies.
Really?
Spinal Tap.
Yeah, all those mockumentaries and Spinal Tap. Yeah.
That was the whole point of the Cleverly's. And initially, it wasn't to tour as a band. It was for a mockumentary that we were going to shoot about a family band from the Ozarks.
No kidding.
Absolutely. And we started posting videos of our personalities and this old-timey music that we do. And they caught a virus. The videos did.
Yeah.
And millions of people. Then agents started calling, and management and television companies, you know, production companies and stuff. And so we thought, well, I think we really do have something here that people would really fall in love with and be entertained by.
Well, I've heard this recently. I think this is one of those wad up, scrub it off moments.
Yeah.
I don't know where I heard that, Digger, but it seems appropriate now. At that moment, that was okay. Get in your circle, wad up and scrub it off, and there you go.
Wad up, scrub it off. That's right.
How many albums have the Cleverly's put out?
We've only done 3. We've done 5, but okay. Only 3 that we've ever sold. There's 2 albums that we never put out.
Okay.
And about 30 songs.
Okay.
And then miles and miles of film footage. We actually shot a mockumentary.
Did you really?
That we never released or anything.
You know,
some of that footage is on a web series that our previous label did, but yeah, we shot. You know, we could have honestly edited it into a 90-minute feature. that we shot so much footage, but we've only got three albums. This is the third that we've released, and this is by far my most proud of the Cleverleys.
It is. It really is brilliant. I mean, I say that in all sincerity, but I will tell you this too. A DVD is more than just a banjo player. If you're looking for a place for that playing, you might have a figure. You might have a way to work that. I don't know. It's up to you.
He's got an instructional DVD.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, okay. A banjo instructional DVD. And his dad, BD, and who's my brother, Vernon Dean.
Uh-huh.
And then DVD's twin brother, Stephen Tylerdale, STD. So it's a DVD's instructional DVD featuring VD and STD.
Okay.
That is, first, it's for, you can get it in MP3, CD, DVD, and VHS.
Good. I was going to, no beta, though.
They're making a comeback.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
But I think Jack White's got a studio in Nashville where he does VHS.
He would be the guy to do it. Is nobody doing Betamax? Then I guess that's off.
No.
Because I got a Betamax player.
The market will just blow up because no one else is doing it.
I do want to give you credit on, wait a minute, that is...
Thank you.
That's I do every time I hear man start to cover that live, I think just don't do it. You guys nail it. Wait a minute is as good a version I've heard since the original, and it's
thank
really
you.
Well done.
Thank you, goose pimples, for you to say that. I'm probably almost a stalker fan of Seldom Seen, and every variation of the group. But I've always loved that group just because of the moments that they have in that show. They're so honest and true in their vocals and their playing. It's just pure.
Yeah.
And every time I've seen one of their shows, and we've been fortunate enough to play some shows with them in the last several years and get to know those guys, and it's an honor to know them and play on the same stage with them. Because as a young man, kind of figuring out my musical taste, I was introduced to them and sucked right in.
It happens
a lot. And I
wanted
to have those moments on stage.
Oh, yeah. What a neat thing. What a neat thing.
So it's a tribute to them, absolutely, not trying to take away anything from them. It was just a tribute, and we hope we did it justice. It took some cojones, I think, to actually go ahead and put it in wax and put it out there. But we've been doing it on stage live for the last several years, and it always gets a great reaction. And people have asked us several times, why don't you put that on one of your records? Well, most of our records have just been full of goofy and not have the golden nuggets of bluegrass and our true musical hearts in the show like we do in the live version. In the live version, we'll do two or three songs kind of like that, just to let people know that, yep, it's not just a gimmick.
That's right.
You know, we can play and sing.
I knew why it was on there, and I knew that before I got to that one, but I thought, there we go. There we go, folks. If you're just wondering, oh, by the way, on the album, oh, there's Wait a Minute, and look further down, there's Oh Death. Now, Oh Death, I don't know what you guys do with that. That's not exactly what any. It gets a little spacey.
Yeah, there's a lot of room in that song.
Yeah. It's a little different. I don't want to give away the ending. I don't want to be a spoiler, but it's not exactly Dr. Ralph in the Stand by the Burning Cross. I don't know.
Last two tracks on the record are just purely just for stupidity.
Oh, good. Good.
And to have fun.
Okay.
And just to give people just a little glimpse of who we are, where we are. We take our craft serious.
Good.
We don't take ourselves serious.
Good.
If you didn't understand that.
I do understand it.
And that's why a lot of people can't play in the Cleverleys. You know, talent-wise, yes, there are a ton of people that could play, But you got to not take yourself so serious.
That's right.
You got to be willing to have fun and make fun of yourself to be with this crew, and that's why it works out so well.
And I think Digger also, and we mentioned Homer and Jethro, and they were good when they were doing their comedy parody things. I'll say this about them and what I think, a very, very talented player who could play with the Cleverleys, you have to stay in character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think that of the Cleverleys, that when you're doing these things, you have a group sound, but you're also on stage. You're presenting it as the Cleverleys and how they do things, which is what you do as the band. But it's also, you approach these. Again, you're not doing Alan Sherman. You're not rewriting the words to these things. You're mm-hmm. just doing them in your style. And, I mean, Beyonce, you know, that to the left, that's dead on. It just happens to come out with a cleverly way of doing it. But all of these songs are just, you know, I love it. I absolutely love it.
That makes me feel really good, and I love it too. It's the first project that I've done that I could absolutely listen to over and over. And that's the truth. I normally don't like to listen to it, our recordings. And by the time we're done with the studio process, I'm done with them, you know. But this is a different thing for me. It has something to do with our experience, I think, because it was so easy. The crew that we've got now, all my nephews, we work well together, and we all had fun doing it. And we really didn't have that big of an idea of what we were doing until we got to the studio, and that's what was cool about working at Mountain Home. They basically gave us the studio and said, have fun. And we were still able to put them out, you know, in a timely manner and be satisfied with that, doing it. We didn't overthink anything. We just had fun, and then, you know, made a decision when we were done with it to just walk away from it and not try to tweak it to death. And it really worked out good. I'm really proud of this.
You should be.
Out of all the guys, and the playing's phenomenal, and proud of Mountain Home and Scott Barnett, the engineer, and Paul Harris and Matt Skates, who produced it. It was a really, really good effort on everybody. And Mountain Home is really the first label that's really dove into it. You know, we've had contracts, but, man, they really got behind this. They all believe in it. When you go up there and visit with them on the phone, and everything's just so positive. And so I'm really proud of this entire experience.
You should be. It's great. I do want to ask you this. I know where Blue came from. I know the why that's on the album, and I get the fact that 3 or 4 year old little girl, and then you're going to do it. But what I don't understand is how did She's Not There? That's my era of the Zombies in 1965. Where who brought that to the group, if I can ask?
I'll be honest with you. My brother Miles, who was in the group originally, in the original version of the Cleverleys when it was when I first started with the Cleverleys, he brought it to the table then. We never recorded it. We did it live a lot.
Okay.
And people loved it. And so I wanted to kind of revamp it and bring it back. But I call it the bluegrass probiotic. It will get you moving.
And also it's timely because of all the zombie movies, and if people make that connection, you know.
See, I didn't even make that connection. That shows you how brilliant we really are.
That's subliminal. The Cleverleys are so subliminal. You're reaching that zombie part in the brain.
Be brilliant without intending to.
Right. Then that's your moment. Then you're
yeah.
Home. Then that's that perfect breath of ohm. That's exactly what you did. Listen,
it's funny the same day that our album released, Eiffel 65 released a documentary about the song Blue.
I saw that I saw that documentary about the song, and it just made me chuckle. I didn't have a chance to watch it, but I didn't know the timing was such.
We had no idea that was happening or anything like that, but that happened on the same day. A dozen people sent me the link to that, it was really interesting. I was glad that I got to see that, and always wondered why they didn't put out any more stuff. But to come to find out, they were just basically studio musicians that had a day of collaboration and happened to do something really great.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Digger Cleverly, man. Blue is the name of the album, and we've hit on enough of it to let people know what they're going to hear. I love it's on Mountain Home. You've given some nice respect to the people at Mountain Home. And have we mentioned all the band members that are on this? I don't know that yet. Have we done that?
Well, my nephew, Dale Vernon Dale, mm-hmm. he's who we call DVD.
DVD.
My brother, Vernon Dean, who we call VD, was in the group originally, and he retired about 2 years ago and lives in a teepee out behind Grandmama's house and makes dream catchers out of cat hair.
Do you have a store on your website where people can buy the cat hair dream catchers from?
Well, that's a good idea.
Well, I'm full of them.
Our store is about to be up and running. We've got all new merch. And I might need to rethink that.
You could.
Those cat hair dream catchers, I think, would be huge.
I know they'd go. I'd buy one. I know we have two or three cats, depending on when you look. But I probably need one just for that.
Yeah, yeah. But then we have my sister Delva's boy, Ricky Lloyd, who plays upright. He's amazing. He's a very talented kid. He plays upright. He plays kick drum. He beatboxes.
Yeah.
He does spoken word. And he does all that at the same time. He's incredible. If you haven't seen him live, you really got to catch him. He's really a talented boy. And he's got a big heart. And that's what I love about him. He loves all animals and believes they're all sacred. And he has a benefit squirrel hunt for Save the Whales every year, last week in October.
I feel like I'm just being reeled in, and that's okay. There's a big, deep-set hook so far back in my jaw, I can't get it out with needle nose pliers. And I'm just being, but that's okay. Keep going. I want to make sure we give credit to everybody.
Well, he's also VD's boy. He's DVD's twin brother. They're not identical. They're genital twins. But he's talented. He plays mandolin and sings. He don't talk right now. He's just getting his talking back. He bit his tongue off in a donkey basketball game. He was going up for a layup, and he was riding a new donkey. And you never should do that in a game. You know, but he was riding a donkey. He'd never rode. Little Shaq, I believe, was his name. And, but anyway, he was going up for the layup, and Little Shaq ducked. And next thing you know, his tongue's flopping around like a crappie on the jump circle. but they reattached it at the National Tongue Institute in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Well, if you're going to do it, that's the place.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard that. And then he plays mandolin, and then on fiddle, on the record, we have my nephew Sock, and he's a good boy, good fiddle player, good singer. He's doing all the bass singing and stuff. His fiddle playing is unreal. But he and his wife just had their fourth baby, and this is true.
Okay.
They just had their fourth baby, and he's having to miss some shows this year, but he is going to be playing with his son and promoting the record, but he's going to have to stick at home. But in the case that he's gone, then my grandson is playing fiddle. I got two boys, Digger Jr. and Junior Jr. And he's Junior's oldest boy. We call him Quattro. And he's a good singer, good player. But we got a good crew.
It sounds like it. It's close.
These boys are young and eager.
It sounds like a close-knit group too.
It absolutely is. When you start getting a little older, my age and older, you start getting a little bitter and hard to work with and what have you. These boys are young and eager. I can tell them they're not going to eat tonight. And boy, I'm telling you, they snap into shape, you know?
Well, they need to have a leader, and I think, Digger, what we've learned through this conversation through your music is you are the eye of the storm.
Well, that's a great way to put it.
That's what you are. You're, but you're the calm center, and everybody comes to get part of that calm area.
I don't think I've ever heard it put any more eloquently.
Well, there you go. There you go. This is great. The Cleverly, the new album is Blue. It's on Mountain Home. I was thrilled to get it, and as an impetus to get to talk to Digger Cleverly, I was thrilled to have that opportunity. Thanks so much, man, for explaining.
I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. I'm glad that you really dig it, and that means everything to us. That's what we want. We want people to have fun and enjoy it, and to know that you have, that means the world to me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And the website's easy to find. That's where they can find out where you're going to be appearing, I bet, and where they can buy it.
TheCleverlys.com. We are nationwide and even going to Canada this year for the first time. Okay. We'll be going abroad, so we're excited about that.
Well, Digger, it's still not quite dark here. The coals on the grill outside of my house are still just warm enough that I'm going to go throw another cup of tea on the Barbie. Because I don't want to waste that opportunity.
I love it.
I don't want to waste that opportunity. Well, I'm going to do that, so I'm going to let you get back to whatever it is you're doing back there in the back and around the teepee. I know you don't live there, but I bet you peek in every once in a while.
Oh, we're cooking right now. We got it on the fire.
All right, bud. Listen, Digger Cleverly, thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. See you, man.
All right. Bye-bye.